Time and time again, our God indeed does provide. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this morning from a subject, expect the unexpected. Are you ready to get into a mindset to expect the unexpected? Usually when we talk about expecting the unexpected, we think about it in a negative light. Those people who expect the unexpected are thinking about the worst case scenario. They always want a buffer. They always want to prepare with contingencies just in case things don't go the way you planned. Anybody think like that? Come on, I know we have at least one that I know of. At least one that I know of that thinks that way. Contingency plan A, contingency plan B, just in case contingency plan A doesn't work. Hallelujah. I just need to be prepared just in case. You're going to be glad that I prepared. Expect the unexpected. But this morning, I want you to think of expecting the unexpected in a positive light. How about that? Hallelujah. Expect the unexpected from your God. We get so accustomed to God meeting our needs and even our wants in the usual and customary ways, using the typical, usual, everyday channels, using logical processes that we get used to so we can imagine exactly how it might happen. But I want you to get into a mindset to expect the unexpected, because when God gives you that final breakthrough, oh, he is always going to surprise you. Has he surprised you before? Yeah. Hallelujah. When he finally comes through and those clouds break and the sun breaks forth, he blows your mind. Yeah. Blows your ever-loving mind. You don't see it coming. Hallelujah. Because he uses someone that you did not expect. He uses a method that you did not think of. And he'll often use a source that you did not see coming. And in some cases, he might do all three. It might be a method used by a person that you didn't expect and the source you couldn't have imagined. Amen? Our God is full of positive surprises. And if you have experience with that, say amen anyhow. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to create an atmosphere of positive expectation this morning. I want you to grab a neighbor that you don't live with. Amen. And I want you to just share with them about a time where God blew your mind, because our God is in the mind-blowing business. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to live in expectancy, just like Sister Carrie. Are we expecting little Luke in a couple of months? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do we expect him to come forth? Yeah. I want you to share with somebody how God has blown your mind. And if your neighbor doesn't have a story, then just make your story bigger to build up their faith so that they can know what to look forward to when God blows their mind. Go ahead and share with your neighbor. Hallelujah. How God blew your ever-loving mind, came at you in ways you did not expect. Hallelujah. Through someone that you did not expect. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. A method you did not see coming, a source you were not thinking of, and you may not have even known existed. Wasn't on your radar screen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mind-blowing experiences. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. If you haven't already, you should be close to switching sides and the other partner telling their story, or if the other one doesn't have one, it's time for you to ratchet it up on telling your story about how God blew your ever-loving. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, won't he do it? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to hear those stories. We need to tell somebody about those stories if we've lived them, because while you wait on God, somebody's still waiting on God. And while you wait on God, you can become discouraged. That's possible. But you need to be encouraged, because, oh, he will come. Not always when you want him, but he's always right on time. And your mind will be absolutely blown. I want you to imagine that it's coming. It's coming. Get ready. Because he will do it. And he's going to do it. Hallelujah. Oh, just get ready. Amen. Hallelujah. He will do it, and he will do it suddenly. 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 You're just going along saying, thank you, Jesus, for all the little things that you've given me. And, you know, it's enough. It's not as much as I want, but it's always enough, Lord. And you're going along. You're just going along and punching the clock and thanking the Lord and punching the clock and living your business and doing your job and giving your tithes. And then, bam, suddenly. Mind-blowing. Somebody you did not imagine, in a way you did not see coming. Tell me I'm not telling the truth. Oh, won't he do it? Won't he do it? We're standing and sitting in a building. There's still people wondering, shaking their heads, by the way, just so you know. How did they? Why did they? You may feel like God says you're worthy of this place. There's some folk that ain't thinking we're worthy of this place. How and why? Yeah, exactly. You're going to have some haters. But you want to live a life full of hows and whys. I'll take the haters. I want to live a life of how in the world and why him? Why her? Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible itself is full of surprises. Did you know that? There's so many that we could list if you've known the Bible, if you've studied the Bible. But just think about David. Samuel came and said, okay, we're going to anoint the next king. And okay, I'll bring this one, the tall and handsome and strong one. And, well, not that one. Okay, I'll get the second tallest and the second most handsome one. And David was not the most likely to succeed, even in his own family, his own daddy. Got up, this was so sad. He got all the way down to the last. He didn't even think of David. Wait a minute, don't you have any more sons? Well, I got that little runt out there that tends the sheep. Didn't even think of David to be anointed king. So you know that it blew their ever-loving minds when they were scared to death of Goliath and needed to find a hero. They didn't think they had one. And little David blew their minds. He was sent on an errand, a little runt's errand. Could you go check on my other sons that are going to battle? Could you go and could you take them something to eat? And could you come back and tell me how they're doing? His own father didn't know who he was working with. Blew their minds. And yet, if you go back and you look at David's story and you actually get to know who David really was and what David was really working with and who David was serving while he was out there and what God was showing him how to do and the faith and the courage that God was building up in him through experience, in retrospect, we would expect that God would choose David. We would expect that David could slay Goliath. We would expect that David would have the confidence to speak to Goliath. He wasn't just imagining, I will slay you. And he wasn't just saying it and then hoping and having no idea. He had done the same before. So if you really knew David, you would have expected the unexpected. As a matter of fact, it wouldn't have been unexpected. Hallelujah. I'm actually giving you an oxymoron. I'm telling you to expect the unexpected, but at the same time, I'm trying to pump something into you to get you to expect it the next time. Look forward to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What about Joseph? Joseph had a dream, but he wasn't treated well by his brothers, was he? Even his parents were a little iffy and a little dicey. And he went into Potiphar's house. And was he treated well? Well, initially, yes, but ultimately, no. And where did he end up? In the depths of the dungeon. But what he did not know was that while he was going to jail, we had the chief butler and the chief baker that had offended Pharaoh, the king. And so the chief butler and the chief baker were also going to jail. He had no idea who his next door cellmates were going to be. And furthermore, he had no idea that a gift that was inside of him and something that they were going to need as they were in jail at the same time doing time with him were going to be the method and the way for him to become the number two man in the land. He's thinking, wrongly accused, I'm going to jail for something I did not do, but what he did not expect was that was the vehicle, that was the road, that was the divine detour that God had planned for him so that he could blow his family's mind, not only by being alive, which they did not expect, but being the source of the provision that they needed. Hallelujah. 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 Israel needed to expect the unexpected because his son that he had lost for dead, figure was dead, was actually the mastermind behind the plan to feed everybody in Egypt and all the places around. Expect, amen, the unexpected. I think about Ruth. Was Ruth expected to end up with Boaz? She already had a husband. Was Ruth expected to be the salvation of her mother-in-law, Naomi? Absolutely not. Her story started out tragically. But God had plans for her to be actually in the bloodline of the Messiah. Little Ruth, little nobody Ruth. We think about Queen Esther. All she was a little girl who didn't have any parents, who her uncle had to raise her, among a people who were now subservient a second time around because they were under Babylon. Now they're under Medo-Persia. So she was a nobody's nobody. But in retrospect, we understand why she needed to expect the unexpected. Amen. Her uncle Mordecai had a plan. He said, I'm going to use the attributes that you have, and you're going to be ingratiated to the king. You're going to have access. And he was just thinking things would be better for the people of Israel. He didn't realize that God had something even more mind-blowing in mind. That she would be the vehicle, the mechanism through which favor would lead to the freeing of her people. You have to be there. You have to be at the time and the space and the culture to understand just how mind-blowing that was. There were people who had never seen freedom. But this is why we have to have our own stories, our own testimonies, because I can tell you about something that happened thousands and thousands of years ago, but you just lived your mind-blowing experience. So it's right on the tip of your tongue. You're still immersed in it. That's why we must share those experiences. Expect the unexpected. Amen? But I want to share with you this morning a lesser known example. We know about David. We know about Esther. We know about Ruth. We know about many of the well-known folks in the Bible, but I want to take you to a lesser known example that won't be lesser known after today. And it involves our own Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Open your Bibles with me, if you will, to the Gospel of John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This chapter, chapter 19 of the Gospel of John, it begins with the scourging of Jesus, where they took the cat of nine tails with broken glass and metal on the end of it and beat him to a pulp. And then that wasn't good enough, and so they beat him, they hit him, they spat on him, and they put a crown of thorns on his head. And then they laid him on the cross and let him struggle to breathe for hours. And then he ultimately died. And while he's up there on the cross, and even after his death and even before, most of his friends, where were they? Most of his followers, where were they? They had either turned on him in all of the ruckus of the crowd. No, give us Barabbas. Go ahead and kill Jesus. You were just following him a minute ago. Bandwagon fans. But those that were in his inner circle even, where were they? Distancing. They slept in the Garden of Gethsemane, but now he's been betrayed, and now he's been spat upon, now he's been beaten, now he's struggling to breathe, and now he's about to and eventually died. Where were his inner circle? Nowhere to be found. Long handle spoon, light touch. Can you imagine? Can circumstances happen in your life? We claim Jesus, but can the government or can someone that can threaten you, could they cause you to have a light touch with Jesus? Could they cause you to use a long handle spoon when it comes to Jesus? We're talking about his inner circle now. Those who got all of his teaching, those who got to eat with him. Where were they? So it looked like Jesus was really in some kind of trouble. He did have a few people there, though, by the way. Let's give some credit where credit is due. There were the three Marys. Did you know there were three Marys there? His mother, Magdalene, and another Mary. And then there was John, the one that wrote the very book that we're reading. John, the beloved apostle, the one who laid his hand on Jesus' chest. That's how tight he was with Jesus. Peter may have been the vocal one, but the one who snuggled up to Jesus and absorbed the essence of who he was and is was the apostle John. So he had somebody there. But today we're talking about expecting the unexpected. And while Jesus seemed to have little and almost no support, he's got an even bigger problem now, because even the little support that he has can't help him now. Now he's dead. What do you need when you're dead? You need to be embalmed. You need to be properly buried. And these four people didn't have what he needed. He may have been anointed with the oil and with the fragrance and with the crying on his feet and the cleaning of his feet, but now he is actually dead. And so he needs something that these four faithful few could not give him. And so he's got real troubles, at least so it seems. And so let's quickly go to verse 38 of this chapter 19. And we're going to see why I chose this as an obscure, up to this point, example of expecting the unexpected. Verse 38 reads, "And after this," and we already know what the "this" is, "after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus," so up to this point, you don't know, you haven't heard of this Joseph, and yet we know that he is a disciple of Jesus. But what? Secretly. He was a disciple of Jesus secretly. For fear of who? The Jews. And so, because he was a secret disciple, it was an absolute mind-blowing surprise that he would now seek out Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. But Pilate did indeed give him the body, and he came therefore and he took the body of Jesus. Now, many people have read the scriptures, and they remember, and they talk about Joseph of Arimathea. They talk about him because he was wealthy. They talk about him because he was the wealthy man that actually had just made a tomb for himself. It was brand spanking new, and he, because he had come to believe in Jesus, he actually gave Jesus his own brand new tomb. Now, this costs money, and he gave it to Jesus instead of saving it for himself. So many people know about this Joseph, but did you know? You may have known he was rich. You may have known that he had a tomb. You may have known, you know, at Easter time they talk about the fact that he gave his own brand new tomb to Jesus. But did you know that he was a member of the Sanhedrin court? Did you know he was connected? Did you know he was one of them? Did you know how risky it was for him to come to Pilate and ask for Jesus's body? Did you know how much he was risking? He didn't just give away money by giving the tomb. He was risking his reputation and his life at the most critical moment for Jesus. He's dead. But now he needs his body dressed. Now he needs a place for it to be put. Now he needs for all of the preparations to be made. And his friends are gone. But expect the unexpected. You have a member of the Sanhedrin court that stepped up to the plate and handled that business for Jesus. Hallelujah. That is a beautiful thing. Would you have expected that? Absolutely not. This is a court that actually led to Jesus being killed. But he believed in Jesus. And he believed that Jesus deserved and should have a proper burial. And so he went to Pilate, outing himself, asking for the body of Jesus. Let's go to verses 39 and 40, because on top of Joseph of Arimathea, because you've heard of him, but I wonder if you've really heard about this one. And there came also who? Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. Do you guys remember that? And brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes. Now, not just some, but about 100-pound weight. Can I tell you he made an investment? Now notice, money matters, right? Both of these guys gave a lot of their substance to Jesus at a time when he needed it the most. He didn't need their money. What he needed was what their money purchased. And he needed their commitment, which is the only thing that the things that their money purchased became a benefit to God. Did you know that you can't benefit God unless you step forward and benefit God? You can't just dream about it. You actually have to do something. Amen? Yeah. And so he came with this mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight, and then took they the body, that is who? Joseph of Arimathea, and who? Nicodemus. Just those two, by the way. And so they took the body of Jesus and wound it up in linen clothes, as it was supposed to be, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now, this is not the topic for today, but now you see how he was bound up. So his being risen on the third day is even more miraculous. He is being wrapped up and bound up so that he couldn't breathe if he wanted to, and he'd have to be superhuman in order to break out. But now, remember, he's dead. So now you know, when we talk about the shroud and was Jesus ever really in the tomb and was it a trick, guess what? The Bible says he was bound and wrapped like every other dead person. You try being wrapped up like that alive and try getting out of it, let alone dead. We're talking about the whole counsel of God, and if you know all of it, you will know why you should expect the unexpected in your life. In a good way, not the worrywart way. Amen? Amen? This is beautiful. Nicodemus, this is the same Nicodemus that came to Jesus by night asking, you know, how in the world can I be saved? And he said, you must be born again. And he said, how can I go into the womb and out of the womb again? That doesn't make any sense. I'm a grown man. He said, it's spiritual. Oh, I see. And he went on to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We have that verse because Nicodemus came by night secretly to learn from Jesus. Amen? And so now we know that he didn't just learn from Jesus, but he believed in Jesus. We wondered whether or not Jesus spending all that time on this guy was worth it. Why did he pour so much into this man, back and forth and back and forth and questioning and questioning? And then we get John 3:16, and guess what? It mattered. He actually accomplished penetrating this man's heart. Now, Joseph of Arimathea, you didn't know that he was on the Sanhedrin court, but you do know that Nicodemus was on the Sanhedrin court, but he came secretly at that time, and you didn't know that he actually was penetrated into his heart, and he believed on Jesus, and what you now know is that he was present and accounted for at the most critical time when Jesus needed him. And so you now know that he was taking the same risk that Joseph was taking. You would never have expected that. Not everything else that you read up to this point. You would never have expected that two men from the very body of people that ultimately led to Jesus' death would have been secretly on his side. Now, if you go back to chapter 7 of the book of John, what you'll also see is that Nicodemus didn't just believe in Jesus. He actually defended Jesus' right to due process in front of the Sanhedrin. He was taking a risk at this time. Just in case you wonder, well, he just showed up late. Well, he showed up late with exactly what Jesus needed at the time, and he didn't just show up. Well, why wasn't he more aggressive? Guess what? You got to be smart. He wouldn't have been there for Jesus at the end had he just been all revolutionary in the middle. He said what needed to be said so that Jesus could get the due process that he deserved. And once he was dead, he was there ready and willing and ready to be counted when Jesus needed him the most. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, hallelujah. So he proved his allegiance by being there. At this time, we have these two men that you never, ever would have thought would be there. Well, what about Peter? No, it's got to be Peter. No, it's got to be Matthew. No, it's got to be one of those. Of course, it wouldn't be Judas. That would be a trip. It's got to be one of his inner circle. No, we're talking about men that you never would have thought. I'm trying to get you to expect the unexpected. I'm trying to give you this little known story. I want to add to your compendium of information that allows you to know and to tell others just how mind-blowing working with Jesus is. And Jesus, in this particular case himself, needed some mind-blowing, unexpected blessing. And it came in the form of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. You now know way more about Nicodemus than you probably knew before. Yes, he came by night. And yes, we have John 3:16 because of him. But yes, he stood up in that court for Jesus as an advocate. And yes, he was there to help bury him. That's who was there. Many people played their part. Simon of Cyrene carried the cross. And we have here Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea taking care of that precious body, the one that we talk about in communion, the one that we have a memorial of in our communion. It was these two men coming from a place that no one would expect. God used men that no one would expect. And so now we know, because of this obscure story, only obscure because we don't talk about it over the pulpit, because it's in the Bible just like everything else. He had supporters. He had believers. He had advocates hiding in plain sight. They were there all along. Why is that important? Because the same thing is true for you. Your source of your mind-blowing blessing is hiding in plain sight. It's not going to drop out of the sky. It's just going to be something you didn't expect. It's just going to be somebody you didn't expect. It's just going to be a mechanism that you did not expect. But it's just like energy in science. It's not created, nor is it depleted. It just changes into another form. It's already there. You just don't expect it that way. You just don't expect it from that person. You just don't expect it that mechanism. But today I want you to expect the unexpected. I want you to live in anticipation. I want you to live with apple caradocia sticking your neck out in anticipation. I just can't wait. I know it's coming. I don't know who. I don't know how. I don't know exactly when. But I know my God loves me, and he knows my needs, and he knows my wants, and he is never late. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus had advocates in hiding in plain sight, and so do we. You need to know that. The source is there. It just hadn't happened yet. And when it happens, it's going to be sudden and poof. When you get ready to tell the stories, like, where do I begin? Am I going to do God justice when I tell the story? Should I tell all the details, or will they be bored, or will they be hating on me? I want to tell them everything, but I don't want folks to be looking at me funny. I don't want folks to be putting their hand out to ask me for what I have. I don't want folks to suddenly start thinking of me as a money bag. I don't want people to only call me when they need something. I want to tell the story about how good God is and how mind-blowing he is. How surprising he can be. Good surprises. So I want us to be encouraged this morning. Expect the unexpected. Live in anticipation of God blowing your ever-loving mind in a good way. It's okay to be prepared. It's okay to have contingency plans, but we need to live our lives knowing that our cup runneth over. We need to live our lives that he can open up that window and give us more than we could ever imagine, that more than we have room enough to receive. We need to live a life that we know that if we give, it shall be given unto us. Good measure, not chintzy. Shaken together, running over shall men. He will use people, not some Martian. He'll send an angel to speak to you, but he's going to give you your provision from natural sources. You just won't see it coming. You just won't see it coming from the person it comes from. You just won't think that's the... Really? In a good way. And to God be the glory. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Hallelujah. 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 Expect the unexpected. Hallelujah. Thank God for what you have and not for what you don't have. But just know there's more coming. When he blesses his people, it's sudden. And he ain't messing around. Do I have a witness? Yeah. Ooh. He will give you more than you have room enough to receive. So if you're rolling with Jesus, if you're really giving him like you're supposed to from your heart, You may as well get some running shoes because you're going to have to run from the provision. But guess what? It's going to run you down. It's going to overcome you. And you're just going to be, oh, my God. Not only do I have what I need, now I got to figure out what to do with all the extra. He makes an investment in you. So he expects a return on that investment. It's not just for you to hoard. It's for you to do good with, amen? Yeah.